Ah, are you there?
Yep.
Now it works. You know where it doesn't work? In Safari. It works only on Chrome.
Yep. Yeah, Anchor FM is not as good as I make it sound in the little.
Bother any of you? The party's completely deserted.
Well, we did not go to 7-Eleven to get more booze. Can't hear anything.
Neither do I. Let's kick some.
The House of the Dead.
I've been waiting for you.
Rated R starts October 10th.
You know, welcome. Let's talk about something really interesting off the top of my head here. So Grimes, the person who had a child with Elon Musk, accidentally revealed that she has a second child with Elon Musk during a Vanity Fair story. So that's pretty
yeah.
interesting. She's popping out the kids like crazy, huh?
Yeah, and it's so strange, right? So I mean, like, why you hide your second child? Maybe because they broke up. Maybe they broke up when she was already pregnant, and he just said, "Okay, I pay the alimony." You know, like the minimum $1,000 a month. I mean, I just don't get it. I read that too, and I felt that it's relatively strange that you want to try to keep that under the blankie or whatever, and then like act like you never got the second child. I really don't know. But also, well, Elon Musk never said it. He also never said it to anybody.
Well, the fact that I also think that they're both a little bit wacky. She's a little wacky. She's zany, crazy. Like, she thinks that she had a shot at directing the Dune remake. Now, has he ever directed anything before? I don't know.
No. But that is actually funny. You know, that she sings like she should, because she has always this kind of dress. She's dressed up like in a sci-fi movie, basically. You don't need a costume designer for her. You can put her in any, like, Boba Fett episode or Mandalorian, you know, like it's almost absurd. And I just watched the new Bill Maher, and there is a woman, she wrote a book about woke culture. And we talked about woke before, but she made one interesting new point. That's the reason I'm saying it now before I forget it, is she said the classical journalist in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, that were all working class people. They were not high-end university people. You were a journalist, was a working-class job. You learned it in the newsroom.
Yeah.
And that shifted in the last 20 years. Who are the journalists? There are rich kids who inherit money, where the parents are rich, where you go on elite universities, to Harvard, Yale, whatever, what only rich people can afford. So there's a new class of journalists ruling in the newsrooms, basically. And they are all, of course, have no contact their whole life to real problems of real people who doesn't earn 20 grand a month. So, you know, so, and they basically, and they have, of course, they feel so bad for the racism, so bad for all the different minorities, so bad for all the gay people, whatever. And they took over, and they came up with all that woke rules in obeying, basically, to everybody and saying, we are the white assholes, the white elite, or whatever, or we are men. Oh my God, how can it be a man today? But I felt that is an interesting new aspect to it, because this question nobody ever asked. Like, who are the people who are so woke, who are infiltrating everybody, that you have to gender, that you have to say I'm a him, he, or she, it, or what the fuck, you know, like all that shit got installed in a new elite.
If you dare question any of that shit, like I said once, I don't understand that everybody's putting she, her, and he, him. And a lot of people at my old job who are younger got really offended by this and started to treat me really poorly as if I was some kind of homophobe or something, which is certainly not true. I'm just questioning the trend. It feels so fucking corny that we have to like put like he, him on our fucking profiles. Like, no shit, I'm a dude. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
No, it's true. It's really interesting because I don't remember exactly when all of this started.
Yeah.
You know, it was 10 years ago where people flipping out if you were not like, was it not all about race or whatever, you know, or like you need extra bathrooms for LGBT people and, you know, and transitioning people and all that rules and all that stuff. And I think there is kind of it's a group of people. They basically grow up and live in a balloon, and they think now it is very important to gender in a ladder or whatever. It's an interesting scandal we have here right now in Germany. We had that flood disaster. You remember last summer in that few little towns by the River Rhine, and they were flooded. There were 180 people dead, and there were is a damage of like 20 billion bucks. So, and the Secretary of Environment, she now. It popped up emails from her from that night of the disaster, basically. And she was all protective, like, oh, don't do the blame game to me, whatever. She was emailing to the fire department, whatever, right? So, and then she wrote also, could you please, like, gender? So it means you're exchanging emails or WhatsApp messages in the night of people dying. And she had nothing better to do with insisting on that fire marshal writes he, him under his name. And that all came out now. And there's a massive scandal. And everybody asked for her that she gets fired, right? And I have to say, I think also she should get fired because it shows a lack of empathy and a lack of like, okay, we have to get our... priorities right. I mean, yeah. What the fuck?
She was holding something up that was an emergency.
Yes.
And she was only focusing on the he, him, she, whatever the fuck. And she wouldn't communicate further until he identified his gender. That sounds like somebody who's fucking warped. See, that's twisted. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because that shows also that, but it shows way more as you try to, because she's from the Green Party and they're all about like woke, right? So, and it shows like in times of urgent situations, as we know with the Ukraine war or whatever, skip the fucking bullshit. You know, it would be like you're walking through Ukraine now and you insist that everybody has a mask on because of Corona.
Yeah, you can't get through without a mask. No, I agree with that.
I know, but I tell you, there are people like this. There are people like this, and there are people where they totally don't get the priorities right. They are completely living in a total absurd situation.
Well, they're living in like an instruction booklet online. It's like somebody who's has no real world skills. Who gets everything from some like shit list online? Like every interaction they have is online, or like they have to read from the text, but they don't have the human elements.
You see, I mean, in the other way, look, there are over 20,000 people went into the Ukraine to fight with them, and a lot of that people, I actually know one of them. It's like the brother from our babysitter. He is. Not even Ukrainian or whatever, but he went there to fight. He has no military experience. Oh, so, the, you know, so, the, and, but you know what that is? That is also part of what you just said. It's like people think it's more important what is on TikTok as that they cannot divide it up anymore, that is actually real and not a video game. Yeah. Or a video where you can then say, oh, it's actually shit. Now I think about it twice. How the fuck I get out of here? You know, I mean, then you're maybe already dead. And that is the thing. I think a lot of there is a generation, they have basically no contact to reality anymore. And that is the biggest problem, because they have only media consume and they have no first time experiences with the real world anymore. Only the world in their cocoon, in their like balloon, you know.
You know something? I wanna bring that thought together back with your thought on journalism being taken over by the rich people, by the upper class. My mother started as a journalist when we were on welfare when I was a little kid, and she did it. We were on welfare. She was a single mom with two kids. She didn't know what she was going to do, but someone in the neighborhood had some kind of a issue with a landlord who wasn't like giving them their money or something like that. So she got both sides of the story. And when she approached the landlord, she had to be like, he was a very on edge. But when he realized that she was just there to get the facts and not like take sides, he gave her his side of the story. And she realized you can't go at someone like fucking rah, rah, rah. What did you do? How dare you take that person's money? You've got to be diplomatic. You've got to be kind of like really chill and cool. And she worked her way up in the journalistic field, but that's something that people today don't have. Like that woman who insisted on the to identify the gender role is like, they don't have any tact. They don't have like the ability to be cool and be diplomatic. And then you get further gains. If you go at everybody like, huh, I'm gay, what's it to you, huh, we got a problem, that's the fucking attitude that they have. And it's such a fucking shit ass attitude that everybody rolls their eyes when they come in the fucking room. It's not because they're gay, it's not because of that, it's because they have this entitled attitude, like them versus the fucking world. So like I think back to like my mother or something, the humble roots of which I came from, when I think of how to engage with people who you may or may not necessarily like. Everybody here is so fucking judgmental on a mass scale. Like for example, Uwe Boll. They'll say, Uwe Boll boxed his critics in the ring. He's a terrible person. You know, like just because you did something that they may not like, does that automatically mean that you're like fucking Satan and you're going to kill everyone? You're a horrible person like Hitler. You know what I fucking mean? Everything's so absolutist. I'm so fucking sick of it. Sorry to go all the way around there.
No, but I just watched yesterday a new episode from Curb's Enthusiasm with Larry David. And there is a scene where he waits, is in the line to the cashier at the Farmer Safe or whatever it is, Rite Aid. And so... there is the second in the line is a black young woman, and she is like 6 meters away. So the line behind her is like stuck almost around the corner, right? So Larry David goes to her and says, like, can you go like closer to the cashier? I mean, you're next up. Like, we're moving here. The line gets like completely out of control because it's back stop, basically. So, and she like, you would never told me this if I wouldn't be black. and he said, no, I would. I said, he said, like, it's not because you're black. It's because you says five, the gap between you and the actually guy who's paying right now is 5 meters. He said that it's not like, it's like a meter between people, not more, is the rule, right? And then it all gets like, he gets, of course, total shit, like the cashier is completely on the side. Yeah, it's like racism, poor. And that is the world we're living in already.
Yes.
You know, and you know what I feel like, you know what the big problem is? That you're living in a world like where you are like in Florida, where basically now transitioning people or whatever are like from the government, not, they don't want them. They want to shoot them. They want to get rid of them. They want to ignore them. And they want to basically do Putin rules, like Russia's always said, like we have no gay people in Russia and stuff like this. So it's like a super fascistic route, what some Republican states in America are going with, like no abortion allowed, et cetera, et cetera. It's ridiculous. And then you have, but then you have the other countries, like the other, say like Los Angeles, New York, whatever, where they are exactly how in a Larry David show, and both worlds is nothing I want to live in.
Yeah, there's
both worlds are horrible, horrible world. Where you know, it's horrible. It's like this super political correctness woke bullshit is catastrophic, and the same catastrophic is of course the total fascist ignoring from that some woman don't want the baby they have in their body growing because it will be a horrible world for that baby. And because there's no father, no money or whatsoever, whatever reasons, you know, and that is ridiculous. It's just absolutely insane when I see that things about the Florida politics and sometimes Alabama and wherever they do this, it's really bad and insane, you know. So,
well, you know, to outlaw abortion, I want you to think, can our social system support that financially? You want to talk about how much it costs for us to all the extra spending by the government and all the Republicans, like we spend too much. You want to talk about how much we would spend if we had that many fucking babies in orphanages and how much infrastructure we would have to build to support it. And the kids will come out fucked up. Countries who have always had more kids, more neglected kids, more sick kids, more fucked, all these fucked up shits happen because there's no abortion. So, you know, if you believe in God, you know, I don't know. I don't think that God would give a fuck because it's our choice. And the thing isn't even, the child isn't even born yet anyway. So fun.
No, but if the thing is, like, you know, almost blaming God for that rules, right? So it's like totally idiotic. I mean, look at how many children dying every year in the first 3 years of their life because they have nothing to eat. They have diseases. They're living in a third world. They have no clean water. And. Yeah. So we have nature catastrophes. We have wars with, like right now, Ukraine. Before it was Syria, it was Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, where people getting murdered and kids getting bombed every day. So then we eating animals, we manufacturing animals like toys, right? So eating them nonstop. And so, but then we draw the line saying that not even 1 centimeter big fetus
the
kid in development, you know, cannot be, where nothing is developed on, right? Cannot be like taken out of you or destroyed in you so that you basically, for whatever reasons, don't want that baby, you know? Nobody of us is like a big fan of abortions, right? I mean, I think we're all big fans of anti-baby pills and like don't get pregnant, but then let's say you get pregnant and you don't want it, then of course you should have the after pill. Of course you should have a very fast an abortion. It's not good to wait too long to get the abortion. Better is, of course, in the first 2 months getting it done, boom, done, right? It's easy.
What I think it's about right now, I think it's about control. I think it's about the Republicans, like, almost objectifying women, like you made your bed and you're gonna lie in it kind of thing, and like your job is to take care of this child, and like it limits the woman's future. It shows how little they think of a woman by thinking that they know better than a woman themselves of what works for the woman's future or what her place is in society. Maybe a woman wants to be more than just a baby like carrier, and she made a mistake. Like, how many women out there, I mean, we probably have no women listeners, but how many women out there have fucking you know, made a mistake, gotten really drunk, and some dickhead fucked them, and then they had to get an abortion. If they had had the baby, it would have fucked their life up. You know,
you
what
don't
I mean?
Even like the father, right? So what you do with pregnancy because of rape, pregnancy because of abuse, pregnancy because of they are hookers and getting pregnant, whatever, right? So, I mean, you want kids living in that surrounding, or is it not better than that they will have no kids? And on the other hand, also, let's say you have a hard-working supermarket cashier woman, whatever, and she gets a kid. So now she cannot, the abortion is impossible, so she gets the kid. So then the government also has to pay at least the daycare. I mean, otherwise, the daycare, if you have 5 days a week a kid, like from 8 to 5 in a daycare, that is the same as you make to work at Walmart. Yeah. So basically, you have nothing to live on anymore if you pay the daycare. Or you cancel your job, you just have your baby. Okay, but then you have also no money. So how you pay your rent, your heating, your insurance, whatever. So it's the thing is, like, you cannot say we don't allow abortions anymore. And then, as you said, but you don't develop any form of infrastructure to have per year then 500,000 babies more, what nobody wants.
I want to go back real quick to my mother, like the fact that we were on welfare when I was a little kid. To get the fuck out of that cycle with two kids and no dad was hard as fuck. Most of those people end up giving up, becoming drug addicts, and just staying on the system, staying on welfare. All the nightmare stories that the Republicans, like, those are the people who are given up, who've given up. My mother didn't give up. She worked really fucking hard to get us out. She started working for the TV Guide. She worked for fucking the Village Voice when it still existed. She worked her way up. And then she ended up working at the New York Times in the end and the Daily News and places like that. Like, you can work your way up through hard work and you can do that shit. It's possible, but it's fucking really hard. The odds are against you, you know, especially as a minority, because my mother was Puerto Rican. You know, so I respect people who do it, but I don't think that most people have the will to work that hard. I think that they need to know that the odds are stacked against them, because perception is everything. But journalism may not be the way out for everyone, but that environment was so restrictive. That environment was terrible. Welfare. I remember some horrible things growing up, some really fucked up street things that I won't go into, like a guy getting fucking flattened by the garbage truck.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fucking crazy, crazy shit I saw. And I wasn't allowed to go out to play, because if I went out to play, I'd have to join a gang. So I spent most of my childhood in New York City indoors. We worked really fucking hard to get out of that shit. So if you're poor out there, guys, know that you can do it. You know, it's possible.
Yeah. So coming back, I want to come back about Bill Maher, because they talked about also about the Ukraine situation. And I felt that interesting, because the woman who wrote the Vogue book, she also said why we didn't just accept Putin's terms. And she said, so Putin's terms was that the Krim is Russian, that the Donbass, like on the south, is Russian, and that Ukraine doesn't have, it's not joining the NATO or the EU. And then he would stop the war. And that, for me, it was interesting, because it's just not true. And that shows to me that not too much information. I mean, here, of course, in Europe, where we're like, more closer to the reality here, you get infos from all sides. But that is what Putin made the Ukrainians believe, that he would accept that terms. But then, as we discussed it last time also, when they met to discuss, it was all about like changing the subject matter to nothing. And in between, he's just moving his troops and circling Kiev and bombs the shit out of everybody. So it's like That shows that the
you're saying it's a distraction.
Yeah, it's a distraction. All that meetings to discuss, like, oh, could we retreat or whatever. Look, we just have to look here at the land map and the facts. The facts are 2.5 weeks they started getting into the Ukraine, and now they're very close to isolate Kiev, the main city where everything will rise and fall with. If Kiev falls, it's over. Right, because there's all the government, all the headquarters for everybody, including the president. Everybody are there, and there's a no-fly zone over the Ukraine. Right, only the Russians can fly airplanes. So the president Zelensky couldn't even get out of Kiev anymore as soon as they're circled, because if he takes off with a helicopter, they just shoot him down. You know, there is nothing, there is no more chance for him to leave, or the Klitschko's or the celebrities who are running around there. But the main point is what I want to say is that that woman is also in a way indirectly a victim of Putin's propaganda, because the propaganda machine is continuing, not only with Trump talking bullshit the whole time, but also with in the internet. In the internet, the Russians try to spread the rumor that they would be basically retreating from Ukraine if their little things would be fulfilled. But Putin never said that. What they say Putin would accept is just made up stuff. It's like Putin never said in no interview, in no statement, that for him the war is over. He only said the whole time on the telephone, he talked to Macron yesterday again, he talked to the German guy, Scholz, I guess yesterday. He has the ex-chancellor from Germany, Gerhard Schröder, is a huge like Putin friend, and he's since 3 days in the Kremlin with Putin together, so that he visited him, he wants to talk him out of it, right? So he is there, and he's a friend, so Putin had to fly him in with a military machine, because nobody can fly to Russia right now anymore. So they are working on him from all sides, but we can only judge right now the action, and the action is the Russian continue the war. The war gets harder, gets more brutal, gets more violent, and they will win.
Yeah, so, well, it just shows that they have, like, you know, you think that there's some kind of international norms for war. I think that all those international norms have been thrown out the window. I think that any time that they see the advantage tactically to move their goal forward, they are going to take it. So yeah. if they think that, hey, there's a stop, let's call a timeout, they're going to say, sure, let's call a timeout. Meanwhile, like you said, they're going to do something, that opportunity, you know,
moving things around. And tonight they also, because the way to Poland was almost like free, like it was like, if you see on the land map, because of course Russia doesn't want to be too close to a NATO country, and so the left part of Ukraine is very close to is at the Polish border. And tonight is the first time the Russians bombed there something, and was 9 dead people, and that shows they want to destroy the support lines, right? So when people moving in and out, or trucks coming in and out, they want to interrupt this, because what they want to do is starve Kiev to giving up. If the city is circled, nothing comes in and out, no more food, no more weapons, no more support, and the next thing, they will destroy the electricity for Kiev. It's still under zero there, you know. So they do a full-on war to destroy the Ukraine, to take over the Ukraine. That are the facts. That is happening every single day. And everything else is talk, and mostly third-party talk. Right. And that brings me back now to the Ukraine, because the Ukraine is yelling and yelling that the NATO should interfere. Right. But the NATO crystal clear said, we're not going in the third world war. We're dumping Ukraine, period. That is the reality.
Well, I don't think the Ukraine has a shot to get in NATO, even especially now, because I think that it would just be instigating a response from Russia, and they know it. So Ukraine is on their own for the foreseeable future. I heard that the U.S. was going to send some sort of support, but who fucking knows?
You know? But now is the second part of the thing. If you don't send soldiers, only you want to send material, like weapons or whatever you give to Ukrainians, now it gets harder and harder to get it into the country. Because you need a Ukrainian truck driver driving out of the Ukraine, then you load the shit on the truck, and that truck, the chance that truck comes back into the Ukraine to the Ukrainian army to give them that weapons is every day smaller. You cannot fly over the Ukraine. It's a no-fly zone. It's like also like if the NATO flies over the Ukraine, it's Third World War, right? But the Ukrainians also have no more air force or airplanes. They cannot fly out and get stuff and fly back in. They get shut down by the Russians. So it's like only on a freeway, basically, you can bring material into the Ukraine. And Putin, ice cold, is cutting that off every day more, and he will succeed because it's just too many soldiers, right? So, and too much equipment. They just like have like five times more people as the Ukrainian army. And that is the thing that brings me back to what I said 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago before the thing. Like, if they would give up, yes, it's a very painful thing to think we have to put the Jesus up here or Gandhi, right? But if the Ukraine wants a country after that war with some infrastructure still existing, they should give up. Because look, if you just give up, right, what should they really do? What the Russians, I mean, then the sanctions from the West, they're totally working, right? We see that the sanctions from the West are squeezing Russians' balls out every day now. The supermarkets are empty. The McDonald's is closed. Everything's closed in Moscow and St. Petersburg. You know, like the Russians feel the squeeze right now, everybody, every day. You're not getting to the EC machine. MasterCard doesn't work anymore. Visa, American Express, nothing works. You know, like, so we have the Russians basically really in a bad, bad situation where the people from Russia will get very, very aggressive against Putin soon. You know, even if they have no clue that there's a war in Ukraine, but they see what the fuck is going on here in Russia, right? So when the shops are empty and all the Apple stores, everything is closed, so even if they wouldn't know because of the propaganda show in the TVs there that there is a war, even if they wouldn't know, I'm sure everybody knows, but if they wouldn't know, they would say, hey, Putin, what is happening?
Yeah.
Why we have nothing to eat? Where's our money? Why I lost my job? So all this will boil against Putin, but the de-escalation to have all of this happening to Putin alone and to not have a war, we can have only faster, and faster is better as later, is if the Ukrainians just say, look, we did a great fight, but now what we don't want is to destroy a 1,000-year-old town like Kiev and getting it bombed, like turned into shreds till we finally then give up in 3 weeks after every fucking thing is destroyed. So why not skipping the next 3 weeks and saying, okay, we give up. So then the Russians...
Putin is trying to blame what you said before about them coming for him. I read that he's trying to, he already put the head FSB officer on house arrest. That's the people who succeeded the KGB. He's trying to blame the security forces for this. He's trying to blame, I don't know if it's the war's failure, but he is jailing or attempting to threatening to jail some of his own Secret Service generals.
Yeah, but that is always the beginning of the end of a dictator, right? The dictator's always in the end getting like removed by the inner circle.
Okay.
Like Caesar and Brutus, right? His own son stabbed him and then everybody stabbed him. So, I mean, it's this kind of... the best chance for the now I'm thinking only about the Ukraine is to save lives and to save the infrastructure is to give up now, saying a big speech. Zelensky should make a big speech saying, everybody let us alone, everybody let us down. We're very disappointed about the world community. but we also don't want any more innocent people getting killed here. So we surrender to the Russian troops. We're not fighting anymore. So because then Putin has the next big problem. What is he doing then there? You know, if nobody fights anymore, so what do you want to actually do? You think they're cooperating with you? Do you have 40 million Ukrainians, you know, and then you have 400,000 Russians there, and then they're touring around, right? So you are in Kiev now, and Putin says, you are now the new mayor of Kiev, to one of the Russian guys. And then he says, you are the new premier minister of Ukraine. So, but you think that has any consequences? That is only talk and no action, because if you go then in a kind of a civil resistance, not a violent one, but a civil resistance against what's going on, then the Russians will retreat. You know, you cannot at one point, because then you have a totally different negotiation situation, right? You have no more fighting in Ukraine, but you have in Ukraine now a total shit show because nobody works with the other party. Nobody knows how to do anything. And they have also no money. So all that shit, the West would then also say to Putin, okay, look, if you want some sanctions gone, you need to retreat out of Ukraine now. You made the point, you invaded it, they gave up. Okay, but right now, keep your Russian territories there, but let the Ukrainians be in Ukraine and ruling Ukraine on their own. Retreat, and we open your banking system again. You know, that would be for the Ukrainians. I don't know what the Ukrainians thinking. Did they really think that they can resist the Russian army forever or win the war against the Russians and the Russians just give up and run back to Russia? If they really think that, then they are dreaming, because Russia never used so far the enormous big bombs they have, right? The collateral damage bombs, not nuclear bombs, but you have like cluster bombs. You have like, they have all kinds of shit. They could, if they want, they could flatten Kiev tomorrow. But Putin is not doing this because then he knows he's totally dead worldwide. Nobody would ever talk to him again if he just kills 800,000 people in one night. That is Putin not doing, because he doesn't want this kind of war where you have like a kind of a second world war thing, where you have like enormous amount of debt and nobody gives a shit at all. And he knows if he's doing this, his time is completely over. There would be the world community, including China, would not deal with Russia anymore. Yeah. If he kills like 800,000 people in a collateral bombing. So, but that is the thing. So he needs to basically take the Ukraine with this kind of like, yeah, street fighting and a little bomb here, a little bomb there. But if you see the numbers of dead, I mean, look at the numbers of dead. There are not so many. There are like in total, they say 15,000 Russians are dead and around 20,000, 25,000 Ukrainians are dead. There are 40,000 people.
A leader of a dark army, a land without law, a land with a potential for greatness, a mighty hero, and a mysterious stranger who would aid him.
Nice form.
Finally, we agree on something.
Academy Award winner, Ben Kingsley.
Glad to witness the beginning of the new era.
She could mean the end of the world as we know it. Blood rains. The adventure begins.
Well, I have a question for you. So, what do you think? Do you think that, okay, let's just say that Zelensky did give that speech and he said, okay, we give up.
Yeah.
What makes you think that Putin would not instill his own fake government as the
Ukraine? He would. But at the same time, the West would, of course, keep all the sanctions up. All the sanctions. And the people in Russia would suffer so much, and they've suffered already after 2 weeks. I mean, that shows sanctions are working if you have already after 2 weeks nothing to eat in the supermarket. So means the pressure inside Russia would get so big. Also, don't forget, the army people want paychecks, right? They are not doing that for free. They are like, that's their job to be in the army, and they want money. And they say already right now that the Russian government cannot pay their workers in 1 or 2 weeks. They have no more money to pay them at all. So if you cannot pay the guy who takes the garbage away, or you cannot pay your soldiers, and you cannot pay basically anybody anymore, the bus driver, you're fucked. You know,
North Korea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but in North Korea, you have a different thing, because they were not basically out there in the world ever. I mean, if you're North Korean, you're locked up there. That was it, right? So
yeah, they don't know about the world, pretty much.
Yes, but the Russians are, I mean, but me living in Europe, being European, I mean, Russians go in summer to Greece, Turkey, Spain. You have tons of Russians. Do you have a middle class in Russia? There are millions of Russians. They go all the time on holidays in Western Europe, Balearen, like the Canarian Islands, and they're going around. They are not only oligarchs, you know, they're also people that make 100 grand in Russia a year, and they go on holidays, and they drive German cars, and they have the Apple Watch, and. And you think that what they gained the last 20 years in wealth, they want to just piss it all in the wind and say, Heil Putin, you're the best. And now I eat my fucking potato soup for the next 40 years. And when the battery of my Apple Watch is dead, I'm also like dead, you know, like, and I mean, that is the thing. They facing sanctions right now. They make their life miserable every day more. And what I think is if the highest priority should be that the war is over, that the fighting is over. Because I only want to say, like, if Putin then would say, okay, here's our puppet president from Ukraine, everybody's happy, and he would act like Ukraine is now peacefully and everything is great, whatever. But we all know it's bullshit, so we would not lift the sanctions. And then it's the time where Biden has to get him on a call and has to say, look, Vladimir, under us, you invaded the fucking Ukraine and we sanction you to death. So if you don't want the sanctions to last forever, we need to come to terms. Yeah. We have to come to terms. You have to retreat out of Kiev and you have to give Zelensky the country back. That is our term. So if you do this, we do the first five sanctions are gone. And then we see next year how we continue. Yeah. So and then we can meet after a year and discuss to not take more countries in the NATO. You know, you have to give them kind of a hope that his whole thing come to terms that A, his people have a normal life again and Russia can recover economically. But at the same time, you have to give him also sometimes or an idea that we are not out there to basically omit Russia from the land map. We don't want Russia. We want peace. We don't want to take Russia off everything, right? And
the other day I was reading this article about the opening of the first McDonald's in Russia in 1990, a couple of years before Gorbachev left power and the Soviet Union fell. And people were lined up for blocks and blocks trying to, for the first time, they were going to try McDonald's, and they didn't have the infrastructure already there in the Russian market for fast food quality McDonald's food. So they had to build and go to the countryside. McDonald's had to create the infrastructure. So the Russian people got a taste right there of Western whatever. And since then, it has grown so exponentially. Like you say, Apple, all this other stuff. Like they've come into the 21st century tenfold. And now they're being whisked back away to before the 1990s. I think it's really sad. And I think that the Russians really need to get their shit together, or else they're gonna lose all that and so much more. They already have, but yeah. It's so sad to fucking see. So
no, because that is a perfect example with McDonald's, because the same picture was 3 days ago in the newspaper where McDonald's now closed, and you had like the lineups around the block. They did a big sellout to get all the inventories sold out, and then they closed, right? I think 3 or 4 days ago, McDonald's closed all shops. But think about it. They had to, as you said, they had to get the infrastructure. They had to get the bakery in Russia doing the buns. They had to get the meat thing that it's exactly done how McDonald's needed. So if all the Western, like VW, for example, they have a plant in Russia, right? And they closed it. So all the people got fired, and VW said, fuck it, bye, right? So if this situation now holds on for 2 or 3 years, then all that companies will maybe never go back. You know, they will just say, no, that the open and close and open and close, and today democracy, tomorrow dictatorship, we give a shit. The Russian market is not so big for us, you know? So, but if we could come to terms in the next months, I bet that they all come back and reopen everything, because then it's not too long, right? So then they were 2 months closed. I mean, a Corona, a lot of stuff was 2 months closed, whatever, right? So
well, there's also talk that the Russian government is going to seize the assets of all of these things and just reopen them under new Russian brands.
Yeah, but we all know what happens at catastrophe. Yeah. I mean, you can't, that nobody builds VW. You know, like, I mean, if you don't get the
you won't get the quality of a real VW, of course.
No, but you can have a cheap in Russia, a Dacia, whatever. That is a Russian car, what people in Russia also buy. But there was a reason why VW was there, or BMW or Mercedes, because there more Russians had more money and they wanted other quality. So the same with Apple. Of course, you get also Russian cell phones, but you don't get Samsung and Apple anymore, what everybody is using. And then you, with McDonald's, of course, it's a little easier as to build a car, as to make a McDonald's hamburger. But even if another burger guy takes the locations, without the, it will be different, right? It will be just another burger restaurant, and people will be pissed about it and will say, look, because if I'm, we discussed that I think years ago, I like McDonald's more as Burger King. I'm a McDonald's. Oh. I'm a McDonald's person, and so if it's different, sometimes you have that it's a little different as what you're used to. Then I'm already pissed. You know that sometimes you say, "Well, the Big Mac is not tasting like the Big Mac. So what the fuck is going on here?" And that is it's a different thing. You have a brand, right? You have a brand. You know exactly how that taste, and that is with all like brand, like a Magnum ice bar, whatever, right? So you,
the consistency, like, you know, the consistency, what you're getting.
Yes, and the consistency are normally exactly done by that big like Unilever, Procter and Gamble. I mean, there are like that multi Nestle, that multi concerns worldwide, and that is their recipes, that is the way they do it, and you cannot copy, you cannot copy it. Then you just have another burger restaurant, but not McDonald's. But I mean, it's, I still think it is no way right now to come here to a end of the war, only if Zelensky would give up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has the time bomb ticking. I mean, that is the reality. I don't know why they always say, let's meet in 5 days again for another negotiation. I mean, what the fuck? They have almost, when you see the picture of how Kiev is circled, it's maybe 20% more, and the ring is closed around Kiev. And so 80% is almost closed. So means they control all the roads in and out of Kiev, and that is always the end of the city. Then it's only a question of time. So, and that is the thing. Zelensky knows the West will not help them. He knows nothing will get in and out of Kiev within the next 3-4 days. It's over. You're not getting things in out of or in of Kiev. And
so hopefully he'll fucking act today.
Yes, he should ask. He should call Putin. Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot also always only talk to the secondary people. That is the moment where two presidents have to talk alone and come to terms, right? And have to say, that is the deal. And I mean, or not. No? Or Putin said, you know what? I have you by the balls. Now I squeeze them. Now I would finish you off. And Zelensky missed his window. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, that is the thing. Now for Putin, but I don't know what Putin gains to win that war.
He wants to make a point. He can gain with. Make a point, dude. That's all it is. This is his way of making the ultimate point that you don't fuck with him. That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
And I think he's brutal and I think it's fucked up, but that's exactly what his intention is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he got his ego got hurt too long that he is not on the top of the game in the world anymore. Yeah. And now he strikes back, and he gives a completely crap about, 15,000 young soldiers from Russia dead. Mm-hmm. You have to explain that to their parents and stuff like this, right? I mean,
this whole war could have been avoided. There's a lot of death and destruction and hurt and turmoil and, you know, like that hospital being bombed. There's a lot of shit that's happened, and it may not affect us, but these are like lives. It could have been us. It could have been anybody. So have empathy, you know? This is a fucked up situation. Yeah. I feel bad for the Russians. I feel bad for the Ukrainians. I feel bad for everybody. As for the leaders, obviously, I don't agree that Putin has done this. And we're just going to have to see what happens. Hopefully, you're right that Zelensky says.
Yeah, but we also know every country, as we learned in Afghanistan, you cannot over put something on top of a country and think that works. It's like in the very end, a revolution or a change of leadership has to come from inside the country. And that is what Ukraine did before, like when we're 15 years ago, whenever that was, or 20 years ago, where Ukraine was fighting against the Russian puppet president, and they won. They won, and then since then they have a democracy, and they really elect their president. And the Zelensky guy was a TV comedian. Everybody was laughing about him and thought he has no chance. But they elected him, and he is the president. And Putin has never did that, right? He was cheating and cheating and cheating, and is since over 20 years in power. So, and I think the end of Putin can come only from the inside of Russia, you know, and how as a dictator you fall is finally if you piss off the people on the street, but also your inner circle too much.
And then I think the end of Rampage 3 comes true.
True, true. Yeah. So I can always recommend to rewatch Rampage 3 or Rampage in general, because everything what the guy says there is the hard truth we learned way later. You know, 15, think about it, 17 years ago was Rampage 1. And he said, we are too many people on the earth. It doesn't work. It's like we're sucking up all the resources and the air to breathe, and we will basically... it's the end, you know. And think about all the climate, the scientists, what they say about the world. I mean, why we're going under is because we made the decision: more people, more economic growth, more fossil fuel burning, more. But the Earth cannot take it anymore without falling apart. And that is 17 years ago, he said it in Rampage 1, and he completely nailed it, you know.
And each Rampage film feels like a different mood, if you ask me.
They
each have a very specific tone and a different message. They're all correlated with one another, but each film has sort of like the growth, like you say, of a human being throughout their journey.
Well, we don't talk about Bruno. He's a wacky guy, he eats french fries. We don't talk about Bruno. He's a wacky dude and he eats, and he wears shoes. Yeah, Bruno. Waka waka waka,
Yeah, Bruno. We don't talk about him because Mama told us not to. No, 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 no. No, see, no, 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 we don't talk about Bruno. Yeah. The nation is going crazy for the hot new hit. We don't talk about Bruno from the mega smash Disney animation film Encanto. Now, I don't know. Disney doesn't want to release any Pixar because they obviously understand the quality of a Disney animation feature is superior to anything Pixar would make, which is obvious with the hot new hit Encanto. So thrilling. Lots of cool stuff, like the whole family's magical, and they like, one of them's really strong. And one of them likes to, you know, go to the bathroom. And one of them can make it rain. And the other one, like, you know, can open the door and shit. So, and then one's really old. And then one thinks they don't have any fucking powers. And then it turns out their powers are the fact that, like, they are, like, a cartoon character in a Disney film. It doesn't matter. So, like, you feel good at the end, because you realize you don't have any powers either, so it don't fucking matter, huh? Yeah. So it's Encanto. It's called Encanto because it's encapsulating how amazing it is to be alive through the lives of a Colombian family. It teaches us the lessons of familial bonding, and like there's animals and shit and like the forest, and John Leguizamo, star of Super Mario Brothers, is back as the voice of Bruno, and he comes in and the family's like, you can't talk about him, but then they have a whole song and dance and they're singing around the room like da 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 Bruno, we don't talk about him, motherfucker. Oh wait, this is Disney. That's the special director's cut. But yeah, no, it's great. Great, 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 great. Awesome. I want to tell everyone to see it, but you know, you don't want your kids singing that like the fucking Frozen shit, do you? Imagine waking up and hearing, we don't talk about Bruno, whatever the fuck. I don't know. Imagine hearing that. That would be really sick and sad and fucked up. So just see the movie. Do see the movie. Yes, see Encanto in theaters. And you won't find Pixar movies in the theaters. That was my review of Encanto. The end.
We'll see you next time, guys. Please, Uwe Ball is on Twitter at UweBall7. I'm on Twitter at GaryAutoZero. Share this on your timelines, on your feeds to help the show grow.
Yes. And
thank you so much. Take care, guys.
Bye. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Now they just have to survive it.